Blessings and the importance of speaking blessings. In Genesis 1, verses 26 through 27, it's recorded that Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the cattle, and over all earth, and over every creeping thing." And Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created him, male and female. And Elohim blessed them. And Elohim said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." So we see the very first thing that our Creator Redeemer did after he created mankind is to bless mankind and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And that has happened. And yet, although we're made in his image and likeness, what is the first thing that mankind often does to his fellow man? Curse them. Not bless them. Well, back in 1998, I was giving sexual purity, sexual abstinence programs to inner city schools in Fort Worth, Texas, where I live. And they were two-day presentations, about 50 minutes in each class, 50 minutes first day and 50 minutes again the second day. The first day, those kids were unruly big time. And I had to give about five of them, moving from classroom to classroom. It was tough. And they were just too unruly. So I prayed about that. And then the next morning, while I was on my way, driving there, I'm praying again, "Father, I need some help on this." Well, the thought comes to me, "Roger, speak the blessing of Aaron over these kids." That blessing that's recorded there, number 6, verses 22 through 27. And I'm thinking to myself, "Father, those are not Israelites that we're to speak the blessing over. They're unruly kids, teenagers." Thought comes back again, "Roger, speak the blessing of Aaron over those kids." So while I'm driving along there, they can't hear it, of course. I speak that blessing. "Kids, today Yahweh bless you and keep you. Kids, Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." So, "Roger, you've invoked my name upon those sons of Israel, those kids, and I'll bless them." Lo and behold, when I arrived and began to give the blessings, I mean the presentations, those kids were nice and respectful. And I learned something, and that is, there is a power in that matter of speaking blessings on others. And I'd been overlooking it all my life. Well, in my later studies, I looked up the definition of the word bless in the American Heritage Dictionary and was blown away by what I saw. Let me read some of it to you. And this comes out of the 1975 edition of the American Heritage Dictionary. "To make holy, to sanctify, to invoke divine favor upon, to preserve from evil, to honor as holy, glorify, to confer well-being or prosperity upon, to endow or favor as with talent." And it comes from a root word, the word bless, meaning to hallow with blood. To hallow, make holy, clean, pure. There's only one person whose blood can do that for mankind, and that is Yahshua, our blessed Savior. And then Yahweh brought to my attention that in Genesis 2, he blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And in Exodus 20, discussing that fourth commandment, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Well, how did he make it holy to himself? By blessing it. And that blessing is ongoing today. I began to realize that Yahweh was setting a pattern for us, giving us an example that we're to follow because we're made in his image. If he blesses, then we are to bless also. Our words are powerful. Consider the fact that even the heathen knew that. In Daniel 6, some of those evil men are trying to get Daniel killed, cast into the lion's den. And it's recorded that the Medes realized that a law could not be changed. The word could not, of the king could not be changed. And the same thing is set forth in Esther 1, verse 19, and chapter 8, verse 8. The Persians and the Medes, their words cannot be changed. Then, our words are powerful. In Matthew 24, Yahshua says that his words do not pass away, and we're to be made in his image. So, therefore, ours would not either. Then, Isaiah 31, 2, Yahweh says he does not retract his words. Yahshua points out in Matthew 12, verse 36, we shall give an account for every careless, King James reads, idle word. Not some of our words, but every word we're going to have to give an account. Well, I looked up the definition of that Greek word translated as idle or careless, and I saw that it means lazy or unemployed. Lazy or unemployed. Idle words. Examples, you sorry son of a, you lazy good for nothing bum, you'll never amount to a hill of beans. You know, just the first thing that pops into our mind when somebody offends us. They come out real easy. We don't have to work at knowing what to say. We can be lazy and unemployed, and they're right there on us. On the other hand, we're to use active, employed, energetic words. We're in his employment as priests, Yahweh's employment, 1 Peter 2:9. And therefore, we are to bless those who curse us. And this, it takes effort to do that. We can't be lazy and unemployed. It takes energy, and it takes Yeshua in us, giving us the power, the ability to do that. When we speak a blessing, is it a prayer to Yahweh to bring about that blessing? No, it's not. It's a statement of fact invoking divine favor and endowment upon the recipient of the blessing, which they, in their free will, they can accept or they can decline. But at least we've done our part. Now, what did our forefather Jacob know about blessings? Well, he could see that the blessings in Genesis 1 that I mentioned earlier, be fruitful and multiply, were ongoing. It was right there for everybody to see. And he was made in the image and likeness of Yahweh, and the first thing Yahweh did was to bless, and it took place. Then there's the blessing of Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, which Yahweh spoke upon Abraham and his seed, his descendants. I'll make you a great nation, etc. And Abraham was indeed blessed, grandfather of Jacob. He knew that. And he was blessed financially, materially, militarily, and otherwise. So the importance of a blessing. Jacob recognized it enough to risk the wrath and curse of his father by securing the blessing. Now, he had already purchased that birthright blessing from his older brother Esau with a bowl of beans, and but he had to get it, and he knew his father could was wanting to give it to the older son. But he received that blessing. He had to get it by deception. And Jacob knew that his dad's words were a done deal. They could not be changed. And his dad, Isaac, also knew that fact. Well, today, all we have to do is look at the blessings which have been passed down to Jacob and his seed, primarily Joseph's seeds, the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim. And I believe here in America, we're primarily those of Manasseh. And we can see that those blessings are, in fact, for today. They're ongoing. We are, our nation is to be a blessing to those around us and all the families of the earth. And to a large extent, at least in the past, we have been doing that, fulfilling that blessing Yahweh spoke over Abraham and his descendants in Genesis 12, verses 2 through 3. Those who bless us are blessed, and those who curse us are cursed. Example, Cuba and North Korea. They curse our nation, and they can hardly feed their people in North Korea, Cuba. Everybody's wanting to get out of there. And then Genesis 27, 29, people serve us, make products for us, do work for us, our nation. And the rest of the world wants to be like us. Everybody wants to get to America, want to be like Ephraim and Manasseh. And that's in Genesis 48, verse 20. We are grain exporters. That's the blessing of Genesis 27, 28. We have the blessings of the deep that lie beneath, as described in Genesis 49, 25. Oil and gas, coal. We have more oil and gas reserves in our nation than any in the world. And yet our enemy and his cronies are trying to block us from taking advantage of those blessings and using them to bless ourselves and others. We have the blessings of the heaven above, Genesis 49, 25. I encourage you to do research on NASA spinoffs. And you'll see that when we go into space, stay there a while and come back, we develop all kinds of technology that end up blessing mankind in other ways. Deuteronomy 33, 29, your enemies shall cringe before you. And at least up to this point, they have. And Deuteronomy 33, 29, you shall tread upon their high places. Excellent example of that is World War II and conquering our enemies there at Iwo Jima and raising the flag. But how are we as a nation now acting? Are we acting as Babylon the Great? Good arguments can be made to that effect. Yahweh's word is faithful, though. We have the blessings, but we can turn away from those blessings and end up described as in Revelation 18, the great Babylon, if we turn away from our Father Yahweh. But the blessings are still there if we just repent and turn. To bless is to enable. If there is a failure to take advantage of the blessing, that's not the fault of the one who spoke it. It's the fault of the ones who don't accept it and act on it. Walk in righteousness and holiness. Exodus 32, the golden calf, terrible situation our forefathers engaged in. And what did Yahweh do? Probably within a month later, in Numbers 6, 22 through 27, he gave us that blessing that he spoke to Aaron to pass on down. Yahweh bless you and keep you, etc. So what are we to do? Just keep on blessing. Just keep on blessing, even though those we bless do not accept it. Now, when it comes to speaking the blessing on others, sometimes you want to do it right in front of them with them in agreement and listening, but often you don't want to do it that way. That'd be improper. Just speak it. They could be the other side of the globe as we speak blessings over them. Like those kids at that school here in Fort Worth. They didn't hear that, but it took effect. So our response, just like Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, which means clean, well, do all of mankind keep the Sabbath day holy and keep junk out of it, which interferes with our communication and fellowship with Father Yahweh on his special day? No, of course not. But did that stop Yahweh from blessing the Sabbath day? No. And did he know that mankind in general would fail in at least some aspects of the spoken blessings? I'm sure he did. But that did not keep him from blessing us with this wonderful gift of the Sabbath day. Esau, as recorded in Hebrews 12, 15 through 17, he was a profane, immoral, godless person. And people like that will sell, surrender, or give away their birthright, the right to the blessing. And that can be done today by just not speaking it. We're giving away our right to it in exchange for a bowl of beans, terrible thing. And in so doing, they're coming up short on the grace that Yahweh gives them, that is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, as prescribed in Hebrews 12, 15, to be graceful and speak those blessings over others to encourage them to be graceful. Now, here's some examples of speaking blessings today. Let's imagine we see some disunity at a Sukkot gathering. Well, what can we do? We can just speak blessings over the whole group of unity. Maybe there's immaturity in our assembly members. Well, we can bless them with maturity. Again, you would not want to do that right in front of them. That wouldn't be proper, but speak blessings over them from your house, from your car, wherever you are. And then children, impure sights and thoughts, a lot of that today. Well, we need to bless with heavenly purity. Non-believers, we can speak blessings over them to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to repent and obey. Again, you would not want to do that right in front of an unbeliever. That would be improper. You ask Yahweh to give you good wisdom and insight on when to, and how to speak those blessings. Fathers who fail to protect and provide, well, bless them with protector and provider spirit. Now, that's what fathers are to do, is be protectors and providers. Disobedient children, bless them with an obedient heart. An adulterous spouse, bless that spouse with marriage fidelity and commitment. And again, you don't have to do it right in front of them. You can do it with them being completely unaware of it. And we are even to bless Yahweh, as recorded in Psalm 103, bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. And every day we're to do that, Psalm 145. That's amazing. Now the blessing in number 6, 22 through 27, Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel, say to them, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. It's a done deal. Now, let's think here for a moment. Yahshua says in John 5:46, I believe it is, that when Moses was writing, and Moses wrote this, he is writing about Yahshua. Aaron was a high priest. Yahshua's our high priest. So Aaron the high priest is a picture of Yeshua, our high priest today. And his sons, well, that's us. We are sons or offspring of Yeshua, our high priest, who's giving us new birth, making new creatures out of us. Therefore, we are to speak this blessing, especially over our fellow Israelites. But why stop there? Jeremiah 4, verses 1 through 2 says, after we, Israelites, get our house in order, so to speak, then the nations will bless themselves in Him, i.e. in Yahweh, and in Him they will glory. And that's going to be wonderful when that day comes about. Here's another example of Sabbath blessings. Now here I would call, when my grandkids were young, they would come over with their parents on a Friday evening, and I'd give a Sabbath, a blessing meal for the family. And I started with the youngest grandchild and working my way up from there, going through all the grandchild and then going through the my sons and their wives. And they really enjoyed it, as you can see there from the grandkids hugging each other. And I'd have I had a special plate. In fact, I still have it. And each one who was to receive a blessing that day, they had the special plate, their special day. So, who and what to bless? Other examples, newborn children, weddings and marriages, employers and fellow employees, and that person we simply cannot stand. Just bless him. Again, don't do it in his presence, but away from him so he doesn't hear it. But it'll still take effect. Unruly kids, same thing. Now, in conclusion, is this a name-it-and-claim-it deal? No, it's just being obedient to Scripture. 1 Peter 2:9, we are Yahweh's priest. So we're to just do what He said, you know, look after others. Just do our job. So bless someone now, and I'd say, and here on out. And the Aaronic blessing of number 6, brothers and sisters, Yahweh bless us and keep us. Yahweh make His face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Yahweh lift up His countenance upon us, and especially you who are listening, and give us peace, and give you peace. And that's the end. And hey, not only speak blessings, but let's all agree to be a blessing. Shalom.